Yov Shemo. How many of you have ever heard of Eretz Utz? It's where they make the pretzels. So Noah says it doesn't exist. What? Eretz Utz. We don't hear about it much in Tanakh, right? That's why I think they call the play. If ever a whiz there was, the wonderful whiz is one because of the wonderful things he does. The wizard is from where? Utz. This faraway place that nobody knows. I don't know if any of the English translation translated as Yishaya Ve'eretz Oz, which of course is the double entendre of that like, TV show with in the prison, you know. It's like this faraway, strange land. So, Oz. You know, right. So the question is, what was this? Who is this? Who's Eov? When did he live? What's going on? Generally, Tanakh is so careful to tell us who and when and where, and here it's just like, we don't know. So what'd you say, what? So Noah says, look, I'm learning Daf Yomi, I know a little bit. I'm not an Amor, it's like the guys who don't learn Daf Yomi, I know a little bit. I'm learning, Baruch Hashem. You guys will, you know, you guys may go to YU and you think really highly of yourselves how you're learning, but I'll finish Shas. That's what he's saying, yeah. Okay, so, you know, so Gemara and Barbash and Laftesh Vav, Laftesh Zayin. The Gemara there quotes many different opinions as to when Eov lived, who he was. And that's understandable in light of how little we have in the Gemara. One opinion, by the way, is that it's just a mashal, lo hayav lo nivra. What? No, it's not rejected. It's an opinion. There's some disagrees. He asks this question, right? What are the opinions as to when he lived? One opinion is... there is such an opinion. It says here that Eov lived in the time of Moshe, which fits in nicely with that famous medrash, right? Another opinion says Eov lived in the time of Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. These are the opinions that are quoted here. Rava says Eov lived in the time of the Meraglim, which is strange that it's quoted as a separate opinion, because when did the Meraglim live? The Dar of Moshe, right? Okay. What? Well, you don't know where he was in Eretz Utz. He was in Eretz Utz. The most interesting opinion is Rav Yochanan, who says that he was Me'ole Gol Lahaya. He came back from the Jewish Galus, Ubeit Midrasho B'Tveria Haya, and his base Medrash was in Tveria. I mean, first of all, it means he lived in the time of Bayi Sheni. That's like pretty late for Tanakh, right? And that he had a base medrash in Tveria? That sounds like the time of the Gemara. Right? So he either lived from the time of Avraham Avinu through the time of Tveria. Now why is the Pasuk have so many different opinions? Because it doesn't say. And thus the real question is, why does the Tanakh not give us any indication of who he was and when he was from, besides saying he was from the Wizard of Oz, you know? So I think the answer to this question is very important. Eov is a story that probably happened, right? Most opinions say it happened, but which Tanakh records because it sees as relevant to all times. Despite the fact that it was a personal event in a particular time, it's relevant to all times. When you want to present a story as relevant to all times, you have to be careful to present it in a way that doesn't have it seem limited to a particular place and time. I think that's why it's presented this way. And basically what all the different Amoraim are saying is which generation the ethos of Eov fits best into. The tragic figures of Moshe who can't get into Eretz Yisrael, of the Jewish people in conjunction with the Meraglim. And I think there were a lot of Amoraim who were trying to say that Eov is a story relevant to our own times. Rabbi Yochanan. You guys hear of Yochanan? The Gemara says that he lost 10 of his children, died during his lifetime. He used to carry a bone of one of the 10 children with him, you know, to be Menachem. Other people say, it's not so bad, here's the bone of my 10th child. Where was his base medrash, Rav Yochanan? Tveria. What Rav Yochanan was saying was, Eov is me. You know, in our day we would say, Eov was that kid in the Warsaw ghetto, helpless, defenseless, you know, a person who we can't understand why he should have to suffer that way.
Iyov is shayach through all times. So we still have the question, though, but, you know, what if it happened, when did it happen? I think the answer to that question, or the one that seems most correct in Pshat, is something that helps us appreciate an interesting nuance of the Sefer. The Sefer Iyov consists of three parts: the beginning, the end, and the middle. The middle is the bulk of the Sefer. You got that, Gribov? Beginning, middle. And middle. I went back after middle. I went out of order, yes. The beginning is the first two prakim that tell the story of what happened to Iyov. From Perek Gimel and on, we have the debate, the discussion. If you have the Shiva Kotel Tanakh, so you can see the difference, because first two prakim are written in prose. From Perek Gimel and on is written in poetry, because it's their speeches which take poetic form. The poetry ends in Perek Mem Bez, where the end begins, very brief end. Basically, the bulk of the book is the debate itself. You have an introduction, which is the story of what happened that led up to the discussion, and the conclusion, which is like the postscript. There's a very interesting difference between these sections, particularly in how Hashem is referred to. If you look at the first two prakim, it's not going to take you long, you'll note that Hashem is referred to with what name? Hashem. Hashem. If you look in the middle, in the debate, Hashem's name does not appear at all. It says Elohim, Kel, Kel Shakai. If you look at the very end, Hashem's name pops up again. First pasuk, Perek Mem Beis, pasuk Zayin, Vayi Achar Diber Hashem Et Hazvarim Ha'elu El Iyov. Now this is strange. How do we understand this? Well, we can understand it very well based on the first psukim of this week's parsha. What does it say? Hashem says to Moshe, I appear to the Avos through the name of Kel Shakai, but Shmi Hashem Benadati Lehem. What does that mean? It means that the Avos didn't know God as the personal God of the Jewish people. They knew Him in the generic term of God. Yirat Elokim b'makom hazeh. Hashem is about a relationship. The name Hashem is used only later, only from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and on. Or in other words, it seems that the debate itself, the story itself, including the debate between the people, took place before the name Hashem was used. Like the time of Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, remember those opinions. And the truth is, the general landscape that they're talking about sounds a lot like the Avos. Utz, by the way, was one of the sons of Yishmael. You want to talk about Eretz Utz. Okay? And the donkeys, and the whole thing sounds like the period of the Avos. So it's probably a story that occurred in that time, including the debate. And the background is written by the author who made it into a sefer, Chazal say Moshe Rabbeinu. So maybe Moshe takes this earlier debate with Elohim and Kel Shakai and all this stuff, puts an introduction, a conclusion on it, where he refers to God with the name Hashem, because that's the way Moshe refers to Hashem, right? And that's Sefer Iyov. So again, that's, I think, more of a secondary question to the first question, which is, why does Iyov not tell you when it happened? Why isn't it more clear about when it happened? I think the answer to that question is much more important. Now, one implication of the fact that Iyov is a story that seems to have happened earlier is that there's no mention of the Jews or the Torah or the mitzvot. They don't seem to be Jews, right? It's a generic question of God, man's relationship with God and what happens to people in this world. So again, you know, in Yeshiva this year, learning Koheles, Iyov, books that don't mention Judaism, books that are the basic theories of life before you get to how Judaism tells you to live it. Questions before we continue? Okay, back to the refrain. If ever it was, there was, the wonderful is one because. Okay. People who kind of remember that movie, they don't remember how it ends. It's a very bad ending. No, I don't mean the very end. I mean when they finally get to the wizard. The wizard's a fake Chassidish Rebbe. Or a real Chassidish Rebbe, you know, each one will decide depending whether you're a Chassid or a Litvak. You like that? I know. Real Rebbe, fake Rebbe? Are you a laptop guy? Okay. All right.
I'm one of those.
Well, that's right, my laptop guy. All right. So Ish Hayav Eretz Utz, Iyov Shmo, Ve'ayah Ish Ahu,
Tam, v'yashar, v'yirei Elokim, v'sar meira. I would say he was a good man, no? Would you say that's good or bad? Good. V'yivaldu lo shiva vanim v'shalosh banot. That's a lot. He was a good lador. The Asu Mishta Beit Ish Yomo Mishalchu v'karu l'shloshet achiyotehem l'chov v'lishtot imahem. Vayi ki yikifu yumei ha-mishteh, vayishlach Yov vayikadshem, vayishkim baboker, vayela olot mispar kulam, ki yamar Yov, ulai chatu vanai, uverchu Elohim bilvavam. Kacha yaseh Yov kol hayamim. Part 2. Pasuk Zayin. Vav. Vayi hayom, vayavou v'nei Elohim litvatev al Hashem, vayavou gam ha-satan b'tocham. This is a very strange story, and I think most people assume that the concept of Satan is something that gets created by Chazal. Right here. It's not church lady. It's not a church lady in Saturday Night Live? I'm scared about Satan. She would bring in these people to interview. And she, like one of these church channels, right? And the goal was like to try and find something wrong in their life and blame Satan. So you're a pastor, are you? Oh, very nice. Right? And so do you like your congregants? Yes. Would you say that maybe you try and give a good speech to please them? Absolutely. I definitely want to please the congregants. I mean, not for God, to please them, right? You're like, well, I do want to please them. But it's not for God, is it? It's for Satan, is it? Satan! And she's like exploding, oh, Satan, you know. So most Jews think that Satan came from church lady. Or from the Gemara. Here you go. Vayavo gama satan betocham. Figure out exactly what the story is with this satan. Vayom Hashem ala satan. Mayayin tavo. Where have you been, satan? Vayan Satan at Hashem veYomar Mishut Paaretz Umayet Alechba. I was flying around the earth. And they have discussions like, well, what is this discussion here? Adam, where are you? Okay. VeHolchu Vanav. Excuse me. VeYomar Hashem al Satan. Hasamta Libcha Lavdi Yov Ki Ein Kamo Baaretz Ish Tam VeYashar Yirei Elokim VeSar Meira. You think he serves you for nothing? Hello, ata sachta vado vad beto vad kol hashalom misaviv masei adav berachta mikneo parat baret. Ulam shnachna yadcha v'gav kol hashalom im lo al panecha yivarchecha. Now take away the good life, then see how he'll relate to you. Yomer Hashem el Satan, hine kol hashalom biyadecha. Oh, it's Zemedaber Vizeba Vyomar, Kazdim Samush Losharashim Bayfshitu Alagmalim Baikahum Betanamiku if he harri Vimotarak and Ilbadila Gila. Oh, it's Zemedaber Vizeba Vyomar, Banechov Notecho Chlim Vishotim Yain Vetahim Abhor. Vine Ruach Dola Baham Evramidbar, Vayigaba Arbapi Notabayet, Vayipola and Arim Vayamutu Vimotarak and Ilbadila Gila. Vayakan Eo, Vayakrat Milo, Vayagazet Vashov, Vipola Arts of Ayishtahu. Vyomer Romia Tatni Betany me. V'arom ashuv shama, Hashem natan Hashem lakach, yi shem Hashem evarach. V'chol zot lo chata Yov natan tfila l'elokim. We'll start Perek Bet soon, round two. Let's start first talk about round one. Right? Terrible things befall Yov. Terrible things befall Yov. Four things right after the other. And interestingly, we're told about the events not as they happen. We're told about the events as Yov hears about them. And he hears about them in quick succession. The events are a mixture of different types of things. There are things that happen in this world, people who attack, and there are things from above, right? The land and the earth are all falling in on his head from different directions, from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south. I mean, he's supposed to feel that the world is out to get him. So it seems. And even see when they say, you know, everything got destroyed and just I got away to V'imaltar rak ani levadi lagidlach, meaning it almost seems also that there's an attention that you hear about it. That you should suffer, and it's planned in a way that you should hear about it. And of course, the biggest blow is that he loses all of his children, which is the most significant thing. Of course, the number one question that needs to be asked is Eov the bait in some sick bet? Shingan Satan? Think about it, right? What are the implications of this story? God's like, okay, let's see what happened with Eov. Well, let's run a test on Eov. Maybe some of us would like to view God that way. Some malicious, you know, evil Satan worshiper, right? Is that what we believe? Just take the question mark out and send a letter home to your parents. Rabbi Tarragon said. you can cut and paste on these voice machines now, the iPods, you know. Don't give anyone any perm ideas. Right? In any case, getting back to the point. Oh, too late. Frailing's already going. Yeah, that's it. Here we go.
I did it in DRS.
You did it in DRS. Ah, so it's already used. You
said. Senior video, they did that a lot.
I see. Okay, so anyone who wants to know how to do this, just see Frailing. He'll help you out. Anyway, getting back to the point. That's a question we need to ask, and we're going to ask. We're going to talk about it a lot, because it gets discussed later in the Sefer. But I think there's another question here. What are we supposed to learn from this parak? From the length of how the story is told. Which part of the story seems totally superfluous?
The beginning.
But what about the middle seems superfluous?
Well,
the debate between God and Satan.
Yeah,
just because we have a question about it doesn't mean it's superfluous. It causes us a problem, but definitely is important, right?
Well, yeah, but it's just overly long.
It's overly long. Okay, we talked about that, yeah. So Alex said?
Because the fact that God says to Eov is regardless of whether or not he has riches in the
beginning. Well, the riches could be important because you need to know what he lost. Okay. Yeah?
The feast, the children's feast.
The children's feast. Who cares about the children's feast? Why is that here? Yeah?
Because it shows how good his life was before.
Mm-hmm.
Children,
I think it's more than that. I think it's something different than that. Let's take a look. Yeah. He would repent for them. I mean, why was he repenting for them? He was worried they might have done something wrong, right? I believe that these feasts were the reason why the bad things happened to Eov. I think you can see it very clearly. How can you see it? What word is used to continue from the feasts into the second part, which describes the suffering?
Vayhi.
The word Vayhi, but also the word Yom. And interestingly, the Malachim who gathered by God are called Bnei Elohim, which is the parallel, the Banim of Eov. God has Banim, Eov has Banim. There's this Yom. And the punishments begin in Pasuk Yud Gimel with what? Pasuk Yud Bet, Hashem tells the Satan, do what you want, don't kill him. Pasuk Yud Gimel says, Vayhi. Hayom, what was happening that day? Uvanav, uvnotav, ochlim, vishotim, yayin, bevetachim, abachor. It's a new cycle. Why is this pasuk here? Is pasuk yudalad about what happened to the kids? Pasuk yudalad is about what happened to the bakar and the donkeys, right? The juxtaposition seems to imply that the suffering is an outgrowth of that day. Pasuk vav, going back, vayihi hayom, vayivo b'nei elokim l'tietev al Hashem. Assuming it's all the same type of day, it's the day when the feasts are going on. So what's the problem? What's the problem here? What's Eov's problem? Why should Eov suffer? What did he do wrong?
He was strict.
I'm sorry, what?
He was strict.
He's a big tzaddik. He thinks there might be a problem. He's choishish. He's bringing karbonis. No, yep. Too many karbanas. Eov's doing pleasures? Doesn't say Eov's doing pleasures, yeah.
He's trying to repent for his children. He wasn't trying to teach them to change their ways.
You know how many parents try and do that? It's a lot easier to bring a karban, you know, go to the school and give a donation, than just to teach your child not to break the windows. Now the donation may keep the school from pressing charges, but it isn't going to keep the kids straight, and if the kids aren't straight, they're going to die. What does it say about Eov? He's a Tam, he's a Yasher, he's a Yerelkim, he's a Sormeira. What's the most important thing missing? He's a person who has an effect on other people. In fact, the description sounds a lot like Noach. No offense.
Noach tzaddik tamim haya b'dorotav, right? But what did Noach not accomplish? Didn't save the world. He didn't impact the world. There's a theme throughout Tanakh of people trying to protect their own by being bigger tzaddikim. Can anyone think of other places where you find it? Where a person hoped to protect his children, not by fixing them, but by being a bigger tzaddik himself. What? Eli, right? Eli. And Shmuel was sent as the replacement for Eli's own children to tell Eli that because of the chilul they're doing, it doesn't matter how good he is, he's not going to be able to protect his children. Before we take questions, I want to show you something chilling. You know, decent proof to what I'm saying. In Sefer Yechezkel, in Sefer Yechezkel. Here we have a problem. We have a problem because I'm not used to using this Tanakh. I can't find anything. But we're going to wait a minute for me to find it because it's very important. I cannot find anything. Anyone has an old Tanakh?
I
don't know what that is. No, no. 1 minute, we're going to find it. 1 minute, we're going to find it. We are going to find it. You have a search engine on your computer there?
I think we had this bit last year with your wife, didn't
we? No, I found it last year.
What happened?
I didn't have the real Tanakh last year either, right? We texted her, she was wrong, right?
Maybe she was right.
No, I found it myself. Do you search there? Do you search there? Ready? Yechezkel 14? Oh, because you have notes from last year?
I have
Rebbe's notes. Is that mine? Let's look. Yechezkel Perek Yudalit. Yechezkel Perek Yudalit. Pasuk Yud Beis. It says, Vayi var Hashem Elai Lemor. Ben Adam. Eretz ki techatali lim o mal. Venatiti yadi alea v'shavarti lamate lochem. A land that sins to me. I'm going to cause famine. That's going to strike out against man and animal. There'll be these three people living there. Noach, Daniel, Ve'iov. They'll be able to save themselves with their tzidkus. Lu chayara'a. If wild animals come by and decimate the land, there are four punishments here. Very often punishments in Tanakh come in rounds of four, like by you. Eov becomes a model like Noach of someone who can save himself but not save the others around. If you don't impact the others around you, they don't deserve to be saved. Meaning, what's Noach doing early the next morning? What's he doing early the next morning? Eov. What's Eov doing early the next morning? Every morning, what's he doing early the next morning? What does it say? It says, Vayishlach Eov Yikachem, he hasn't cleaned up. Vayishkim Baboker. Who got up in the morning? Vayela Olot Mispar Kulam. He's bringing carbonates, but not waking them up for shachris. If you don't get up for shachris, so you're not finished, man. Your father davens twice for you. Can he daven twice for you? She says, Shira Milas for you. Well, let me say a few more Shira Milas. A couple more Hail Marys, bring home more carbonates. In fact, the punishment of Eli was that his family, he says, you're not going to be able to do kapara with carbonates. Right? Why? Because the whole problem was a misunderstanding of what karbanos are about. In fact, the Gemara says you can't do kapara with karbanos, but you can do kapara through chesed.
meaning you can do things to show that you've learned, but not karbanos, because you've turned the karbanos into a chiluk, because you think karbanos are a way of buying off God and not fixing the problems. Interestingly, Chazal say it, it says by Shmuel, the punishment was there won't be any older people in the family. Right? At least family all die young. Why won't there be older people? Because what's the job older people are supposed to do? Affect the younger people. So if older people don't affect younger people, so we don't need any older people, right? You're not going to have the schus for older people. Meaning, one could say conceivably that Parakalos takes the air out of the balloon of Sefer Iyov. How? Because it already tells you did something wrong. So when you start reading about his complaints, you're like, well, you're an idiot. So the truth is, I don't think the thrust of Perek Aleph is to say that Noach is a Rasha, or that Iyov is a Rasha. And clearly, despite what happened, it doesn't seem to us that he deserved what the degree of what happened to him, right? And it wasn't just his kids who he lost. He lost everything. So we still walk away saying, wow, like, what's the explanation of this, right? And that's why Iyov is such a powerful story, because there's a lot of suffering in this world we don't understand, right? You know, it's sad because sometimes, you know, this time in your lives, kids lose a grandparent. I mean, how many people lost grandparents in the last 5 years? A grandparent. Okay. How many people have a grandparent who's not well? Everyone in the room. And, you know, inevitably a kid comes to me and says, my grandfather died, grandmother died. Why did it happen? It's not fair. He was a good person. She was a good person. And I always respond to that person and say, I don't understand. You ever hear of the Holocaust? And I said, that didn't bother you? I mean, you've been living fine with no problem. Now, I don't understand how my grandfather passed away. But, you know, the sad thing is that the only things that speak to us are the things that touch us personally. Right? There's a lot of other things in the world that we don't understand. A lot of suffering that seems to be without explanation. And Iyov is definitely a model of that. But it is important to see in Perek Aleph that it does give you an indication of something. And we'll see the importance of this as the Sefer continues. Okay, questions. We'll turn to Perek Beis. Yes?
If Iyov clearly was doing something wrong by, you know, keeping all...
Clearly! I think he did something wrong, yes.
Okay. So then why is Hashem safe in suffering that, like, you know, he's like a great person?
He was a great person. He was a great person. There are great people who can't affect others. Was Noach a great person? Yes. Couldn't affect others.
He was deserving of punishment, but why did he question
the suffering? It doesn't seem like he was deserving of punishment on this level. It's, well, we'll see. You're getting back to how we understand the whole conversation between God and Satan, right? You're assuming kaputo, which means that we think God is evil. Right? If you assume kaputo, it makes God look pretty bad. I mean, God is willing to let Iyov take it on the lip for no reason, as a test. Is that what we believe? Not as a test of Iyov, because God believes Iyov is okay, right? It's as a, like, you know, way to prove it, right? I'm going to prove to you, Satan, that he's going to stand strong. I hope we don't believe that, right? Yes. Hello. You're waving? Yes.
What does it mean when it says Iron that you get injured by Iron Shushan?
We'll get there in a few minutes. You know, I came with nothing, I'm leaving with nothing, and so I have nothing to complain about.
Yeah, but, like, you don't go back to your mother's womb.
He means I'm returning to death. You know, I came into the world with nothing and I'm leaving with nothing. Okay. So round two. Ahi ayo. Note the difference between this pasuk and the last pasuk. The last pasuk it said, "Vayavo b'nei elokim v'yetzev el Hashem, vayavo gam ha-satan v'tocham." Here it says, "Vayavo b'nei elokim v'yetzev el Hashem, vayavo gam ha-satan v'tocham." L'yetzev el Hashem. He has his own hityatzfut. Yom Hashem al ha-satan. Emi zetavo. Where you been? He's still sticking to his guns. You incited me against him to swallow him up for nothing. What does Satan say? Sure, you took everything away, but you didn't attack him. V'yomer Hashem al Satan, hino v'yadecho, achet nafsho shmor, don't kill him. V'yitzi Satan meit pnei Hashem, v'yachet Iyov b'shchin ra, mikaf raglo v'ad kad kado, v'yikach lo cheres litgared bo v'u yoshev v'toch ha'efer, v'tomer lo ishto, odcha machazik v'tumatecho, v'arech Elohim v'met. Eov's wife was the first devil's advocate. Big loser, come on! It's clear you're being challenged. Vayomer aloud. Kidaber achata nevalot tedaberi. This is not the dating and marriage here. Gam et atov nekabel meet Elohim v'etara lo nekabel. B'chol zot lo chata Eov b'svatav. Eov's holding out, right? Shkoyach Eov. Round three. Vazgidal v'yishmu shloshet re'yov et kol hara zot ba'alav. His friends hear what happened to him. Vayavo ish mimkomo Elifaz ha-temani u'bildad ha-shuchi v'tzofar ha-na'amati Vayivadu yachdav lavo lanud lo l'nachamo. They come to console. Vayisu et einehem mirecho v'lo hikiru. Vayisu kolam vayivku Vayikru ish mi'lo Vayizriku afar l'rashayhem ha-shamayma Vayishvu ito l'aret shivat yamim shivat leilo V'ein dover ilav davar כי ראו כי גדל הכאב מאוד. אחרי כן, פתח איוב את פיו ויקלל את יומו ויען איוב ויאמר, etc. Why does Eov finally snap? What happened to Eov that Satan couldn't do? Yes? That was before? That was in the first part of Parashat. What took 7 days and seven nights? What? If I would give that answer, you wouldn't take it, right? Yes?
Because you can live in your own misery and you don't realize it, but when you're around it and people are showing it to you, then...
What do you mean they're showing it to you? Yes?
He saw his friends and they saw his friends, they're still sad and they didn't realize they have a good life.
I think it's more than that, something it says, yes. Because of the implication was I'd give you a chance to finish, I'd give you a chance to finish now. Okay, yes?
He felt being pitied, that was the worst
time. Does it say that he showed him pity? Yes.
They were mourning for him.
They were mourning for him. Okay, it doesn't say that, by the way. It said they consoled him, yeah? Well, what? They saw that things were terrible, okay. They saw that right away, yeah? What? They didn't speak to him. And what's the significance of that?
He's now not human.
He's now not someone they remember. When you visit someone who, let's say, Chas v'Shalom, person's in the hospital and he had his left arm cut off. Chas v'Shalom, should never happen to anyone. What's the goal when you visit him?
Did he forget?
What?
Did he forget that he's lost it for a little while?
What do you mean? Hey, how are the Giants? What do you mean?
Should I be there?
Oh, wow, I feel so bad for you.
Just to show that there are people that are supporting me.
The goal is, you should never have to do this. To act towards him the way you acted towards him yesterday. You're not going to say, hey, let's go play basketball. That's like stupid, right? But the question is, has he changed? Has he changed? Inherently. What about your relationship yesterday was about his left arm? Nothing, right? Except maybe playing ball. But you hung out together. You should do exactly what you did the day before. Talk about the same things in the same tone. If you're talking, hey, how you doing? The guy like realizes my life has changed dramatically. What's the purpose? Why do people gather when someone's lost a relative? To show them that their life continues with the same people. We're all here. You've lost something basic to your identity, but we're all here. We're the same. You still got us. Your life continues. Now, why didn't they talk to him? Because they didn't know what to say, right? They couldn't talk to him. And that reinforced for him the change that had happened in his life. And it's amazing how much more significant the subjective reality is beyond the objective reality. I mean, no matter how bad things were, it was manageable. Now, when even his friends couldn't relate to him, he had lost everything. It's amazing how much pain we can cause people, more than the sudden, right? Yeah?
I have two questions.
Why don't you ask one at a time? Because you want to let me know if Meiros, there'll be two.
Right. So,
you know, okay, I'm ready.
One is, it seems like the Sadat thinks that, like, oh, I couldn't get to him by killing all his children, so I'm going to give him a little bit of Sarah. Like,
that's Sarah. You have to affect him personally. I'll explain the philosophy behind it in a minute.
Okay. And then, right, isn't the law that we're going to be Menachem Avil, we're not supposed to talk until the person talks to us?
But you have to be involved in talk. There has to be talking. Well, meaning, on the one hand, you can't initiate because you have to wait till he's ready in the way he's ready. There has to be talking. And if there isn't talking, you have to talk?
7 days.
Long time, eh? Okay, so, yes.
Why does Hashem need to tell you the Satan not to kill him? Wouldn't it be obvious to Satan that if he kills him, it's all...
I guess that gets back to the discussion between God and the Satan, which we're going to have to talk about when we have more information, right? You're asking about a prod. I don't understand the whole thing, right? For what I could say, you know, God wants him to suffer more. If you kill him, it gets off easy. See? And you guys aren't holding a church lady. And later on the internet, you'll give him a couple of YouTubes of church lady. Shemesh Zachin. So, Pastor, how do you get to church? You have a car, do you? You wouldn't really need a car, do you? Right? I mean, you could get there without a car. But you have a car anyway. Oh, I see. Would it be the pleasures of this world that you seek? Could it be shame? Yes.
I don't know, honestly, like his sons are dead and all his children are dead. And like, what he's having to him, and like his wife, why don't we hear more about his wife? We just hear like she's getting mad at him.
It's the relevant part of the story. She didn't get mad at him. She says to him, like, you know, buckle. Give it up, and they'll stop coming after you, right? Look, in any good movie where the hero is standing up to the mafia, right, or standing up to the forces of evil out there, whatever they are, the government, right? There's always going to be the wife who says, why don't you give it up already? I have to live in your room. And she's got a particular role to play, right? To be the voice of reason before he goes and, you know, puts on his bullet, you know, his bulletproof vest and 3 guns and goes and kills everyone, right? What are you really gaining? It's the principle of the matter. Or in Rambo's, but you know, it just shows you that a grunt can say 1,000 words. All right. So it says here in Pasuk Yud that when his wife spoke to him, he said, "Hey, I'm not going to buckle." Bechol zot lo chata Iov b'sfatav. What does that mean? Still, Iov didn't sin with his lips. What's diuk? Nu gemar. What's diuk?
He was
sinning somewhere else. How was he sinning somewhere else? Yeah, not that we could be harsh on Eo, otherwise we could stand there head to face, but just to understand what's going on. How did he sin on the inside? Look in the words. What's the problem here? Yes?
Thoughts that were contrary.
You're saying maybe. What does it say in the text? Maybe he had a pig sandwich. I'm saying, what? Maybe he didn't speak nice to his wife. Oh, that's the deal. So it is the dating and marriage series, right? No? Chanoch! Chanoch, ata ozev? Ani mesayim et hashiur ba'od 5 dakot. Ata ozev achshav? Anyway, yes. What's the problem here? Besides, have I also tipalta? Simcha. Yes. What? Can you? That's later. That's later. Yeah.
I think it could be what Jake is saying, because like when he says to his wife, it's like you're talking about it, and then it says that he didn't say anything against God.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what he actually said. The reason what he says doesn't strike us as problematic is because we think he's right.
He's criticizing.
No, he does criticize his wife, but there's something much more. He's saying what God is doing is bad. Now, it definitely seems that way, right? Again, you know, I don't think any of us would disagree. But what's the problem? If you've already decided that what God is doing is bad, then the only thing left is to let it out. Now, has he let it out yet? Has he cursed God? No. But inside, he's already rotten. Now it's only a matter of time till you feel how bad it is. And the truth is, if you look at earlier stages, you can see the crack in Eov's armor, which is important for us to see because these cracks are much larger in us. For example, Eov's first way of accepting what happened, there's no sin whatsoever. But what's the problem with it? How does it open up the door for Satan? What does Eov say? Pasuk Chav Aleph. There's even a Christian translation for this. What's the translation? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. What's the logic behind that? So, you know, okay, right? He gave it, and we had it for some amount of time, and now we took it. What are we going to be? We're not going to be appreciative? And the truth is, it's hard to say that this isn't the ideal way of being makabel, you know, gzar din. This is what we say at a funeral. Hashem natan, Hashem lokach, Yishem Hashem evaroch. And if you ever heard, you know, the procession, that's what they're saying. Beautiful. But at a funeral, we say one more thing. We say, Gadol heitzav arava alilia, Hatzur tamim palo, Kol rachav mishpat, Ein emunah, El emunah ve'ein avel. What's the difference between those last sukkah and the first thing? The first thing is saying, God has the right to do that. The second thing is saying, God was right for doing it. It's very hard for a man to say God was right when he doesn't understand why. Now you can say, I believe he's right, because I have experience, and I respect the man. Eov doesn't say that. And Alice, that's where Sutton comes in. Sutton says, you know what the problem is with Eov? He recognizes that this is stuff you've given him. We see somehow, we don't see God as giving us our own lives. We see God as giving us a Cadillac. Because we came into the world with our own lives, right? What happens if God makes us sick? So that's beyond his rights. Why is it beyond his rights? Because he didn't give us that. We have the inalienable right to be healthy. That's exactly what the Son says to God. Pasuk Dalet. A man will give everything for his life. Go and take away what he takes for granted, but he doesn't see you as giving him and see what he'll say. And that's what Eov says. We took the good, we're not going to take the bad. Yeah, God did something bad to me, something he doesn't have a right to do, something that's wrong, but I'm a Kabbal. Well, now it's only a matter of time. And there's a very important lesson here for us about the way we view the own things that we have in this world. On the one hand, to try and reach the level of Eov. On the other hand, to understand that we have to seek a deeper understanding of things. Elokai, Nishama, Shenatata, Bitahorei, Emoda, Mi Lefanecha, Hashem Elokai, Velokai Avotai, Shechazarta, Binishmati. And a person doesn't take it for granted. Maybe things get taken from us because we take them for granted. Maybe a good way to avoid them being taken away is not to take them for granted. Yes, Mike.
The fact that it says that he said that it was bad and then lo chatav
v'chatav, it's not a chate to say that God did something that you think is bad. That's not a chate. It's an expression of a problematic way of looking at the world.
It's misleading to say that.
It's misleading.
Like, it seems like it's not a problem.
Well, the cholzot lo chatayo v'chatav does imply clearly that there is a problem. There's a problem in his belief system. It's not a chate to say God did something to me. We do see it as bad. Nowhere in the Torah does it say, don't say what God did to you is bad. Not a chate. It's a chate when you curse God. That is a chate, yes. But we have to realize how one leads to the other. And we don't realize that, so we walk around being bitter and angry at God. And then we're surprised when we don't relate properly to God, right? So you got to cut it up and nip it at the bud. Okay, next week, Perek Gimel. Now here we get into a little bit of a problem, because the first two prakim of Eov are deceptingly easy. The words, they can just read the words. All right, guys, coffee breaks over, back on your heads. From Perek Gimel through Perek Mem Aleph. It's impossible to understand anything anybody's saying. So we can spend each year with me translating the words for you. I know how to do that. I don't think anybody wants that, right? So what we're going to have to do is, each week, people have to spend 5 minutes with an English Tanakh, going over, make sure they understand the translation of the words, just to know what they say. Then we'll try and understand what it means. Right? But first, what they said. Because we're not going to translate, right? Do we want translation? No. Boo, translation, boo. Right? And if people come and didn't translate themselves next week, you'll see what it's like. Coffee break's over, back on your heads. You guys know that joke? No? Gimel Dalet and Hey.